Welcome, everyone, to the Abundance Formula Podcast. My name is Gina Oldham, practitioner of prosthetics and orthotics, fitness expert, business owner, lifestyle entrepreneur, and four-time national bikini competitor. This podcast was created to empower people to build abundant lives for themselves, lives that are purposeful, fruitful, and send a ripple effect through the world. From short motivational segments to game-changing conversations with highly successful and abundant people, be ready to learn the formula of common actions, thought patterns, and principles that create abundant living. Whether it be your mindset, health, business, or relationships, the Abundance Formula has what you need to uplevel your life to the one you're called to live. So here we go. Welcome back, everyone, to the Abundance Formula Podcast. Hello, YouTube. Great to be back today. All right, first, before we dive in, quick announcement. So November 5, I'm hosting an Abundance Formula event. So it's a personal development event. It's going to be absolutely amazing. The focus is called Clarifying Your Calling. And I've got four total amazing speakers, myself, Whitney Weiser, who's been on the podcast a couple times, Erica Van Slyke, she was interviewed a few weeks ago, my sister-in-law, Raquel Mullins. So we've got a really amazing group that's going to be speaking and giving you all kinds of tips, tricks, mindset work, tactical information. We're going to have workbooks, and we're just going to do a real deep dive into helping you clarify your calling if you don't know what it is, if you have an idea of what it is, but you've held your own self back, and you've got limiting beliefs or old stories, or you don't even know what it is that's holding you back. We're going to help you pinpoint what it is so you can move on with it. And then three, if you kind of know what your calling is, you feel like you've got an idea of your purpose, you're confident, you're ready to dive in, whether you're confident in it or not, then we're also give you the like tactical how-tos to bring it to life. So there's going to be a little something for everybody. And so that's happening November 5, and it'll be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The tickets are not available yet, but if you want to be either on the waiting list or just be in the know when they drop, because there will be an early bird price available for a limited time, then make sure you get on our email list. So you can either just send us an email at oldhamstrong@gmail.com, which is spelled O-L-D-H-A-M, as in Mary, so oldhamstrong@gmail.com. And just say, hey, add me to your email list, want to stay in the know on everything, and we will add you to the email list. Or if you follow me on Instagram at Gina Oldham, it's Gina underscore Oldham on Instagram, so J-E-A-N-A underscore Oldham. And in my link, it's one of those link trees, so when you open that, you'll see where it says join email list, and you'll also get a free product by joining our email list. Even if you email us directly and say you want to be on the list, right now you'll get automatically a free roadmap to help you finish strong 2022, help you to hit your goals, whatever it is that you're wanting to achieve this year. And then we're about to launch another free product that's going to be a 30-day devotional that you'll also receive. So get on the email list, make sure you don't miss the announcements and miss your opportunity to get the early bird price when tickets do drop. And then, of course, get some freebies along the way. The devotional will be focused on clarifying your calling and those kind of things, too, because it's linked with the event. So those are the announcements for today. So now let's dive in to our topic. So today's topic is on getting into rooms where people are better than you, rooms where you're not always the teacher. You're not the head honcho. You're not the most experienced. You are actually the student. And this is going to help you exponentially level up in your life. No matter the area that we're talking about, it's so important that you check in with who you associate with and who you hang around the most to see if you're really pushing yourself to your highest potential, if you're really, you know, if you say you really want to be extraordinary in a particular area, whatever that is, are you actually surrounding yourself with people who are at the moment more extraordinary than you are? Because surrounding yourself with those kind of people is what's going to take you up to that level. It's going to keep you up to that pace than if you're just hanging around people that are either equally as good at you at something or lesser than, and you're always the one that's the coach or the teacher or the, you know, the one that's kind of leading everybody else along. And so I wanted to kind of give you a live example of just sort of what I'm talking about here. So this particular one is going to be sports oriented. We're not talking about like anybody listening to this trying to be extraordinary in sports. This is just an example story to help show the reality of what this concept is. So back in high school, I was always an elite athlete. I won whatever that superlative is, the most athletic. I specifically was really excellent at basketball, and I had planned on going to college for basketball. I ended up not taking any of the scholarships that I got offered, which were to some of the best Division I schools. I just happened to be dating someone at the time that didn't want me to leave town, and so I ended up not going for that. But before, of course, knowing all that, starting from a freshman, that was one of my chief goals, was to get really great scholarships for basketball. So I was a really great basketball player. I had the college scholarships like I talked about. My jersey was retired at the end of my high school career for being a really great historical player there. I'd scored over 1,000 points while I was there in school. Nobody else in the history of the high school had ever done that except for one other person, and it was a guy. And so I was the only female who's ever achieved that, and he and I are still the only two who have achieved that ever since. So both he and I's jerseys were retired for being the first two people to ever score over 1,000 points in our career there in high school. And the team, no high school team of the girls or the guys had ever won like a whole tournament. There's no multiple tournaments that we would compete at throughout the years, and they'd never won first, like won the whole thing of any of those tournaments. And there was one really big tournament, our biggest one of the year, that we would travel to in Texas. And that was always like the big aim, was to try to win that one day. So they'd never done that. And then for my years there, we won 3 years straight in a row. So my freshman year, we came in second, which was the best we'd ever done at that point. And then for the rest of the years onward, we won the whole thing. And so that was really cool. I won MVP of that entire tournament those 3 years straight. And then also in those 3 years, we won multiple other tournaments first place that we competed in as well. So all of that just to say, that's not where I started. I was always really good. And I always went to camps. I'd gone to a Pistons basketball camp and some other camp, I don't know, it was a college-led one. So I've been to some other camps to always better myself in the summer besides the one that was put on by my high school. But by my senior year, of course, that's the year you like really want to do your best and like finish strong. And so by my senior year, that, you know, the team changes as other people graduate. So let's say my sophomore year, the first year we won, we had a team that you would expect that if everybody worked hard, right, we totally had the capacity to win this tournament. By my junior year, we still had a team that, again, looking at it, you would expect that we should be able to win this tournament. By my senior year, the team we had, all the girls were good, but I don't remember how many seniors they had, not that many seniors, so they were all pretty young. I think the main majority of the team were sophomores, and we were tiny. I'm trying to remember, I think the tallest girl was maybe 5'7", and she wasn't even able to play the whole year because she'd had a tumor on her brainstem her sophomore year and spent the rest of her high school just trying to learn to walk again and just to be able to play little short increments if we were far enough ahead. So she was the tallest on the team, and the rest, like the next tallest, was maybe 5'6", but everybody else was like 5'4" and below and super scrawny, like skinny, scrawny, not tough as in like physically, you know, like they were good shooters. Everybody's good shooters and fast or whatever, but like scrawny, like doesn't take much to knock them down type thing. So it was not a team that you'd look at that you'd think, okay, this team can totally do this. You're going to go play against girls that are 5'8", that the point guards, who are the typically the shorter people on the team, are that tall, you know, like big, thick girls. And so that was not that team. So my senior year, or the summer preceding my senior year, I was like, okay, this year, if we are really going to do this, I'm going to have to go out and really up-level myself and be able to bring that information back to our team and like somehow find a way to take, like, help lead this team. I was the captain that year. Find a way to lead this team to one final victory. And so my mom and I were looking to see what place I could go to really step my skill set up a whole nother level. So we found this camp that was an elite camp. You could not join this camp unless they looked at your history, and you had to be a starter on your team, and there are these multiple prerequisites. And it was put on by Pat Summitt, who at the time was the head coach of the Tennessee Lady Vols. And I'm going to read you just a short snippet of who she is so you understand who this person is. So I'm about to get in a room that is not only a huge room, but I was about to put myself in a room with people who were exponentially better than myself, with a coach who was exponentially beyond what I could even imagine being in the presence of. So my whatever quote athlete resume was reviewed and accepted to go to Pat Summitt's elite, just 3-day weekend intensive basketball camp. So just especially for those of you who don't follow sports or whatnot, and especially because she had to retire a while back because she got some early onset Alzheimer's, so she's not presently a coach. So if you're a young buck listening to this, you might not know who she is. But regardless, so especially for non-sports fans, Pat Summitt was an American women's college basketball head coach who accrued over 1,098 career wins, which is the most in college basketball history, male or female, at the time of her retirement. She served as head coach of the Tennessee Lady Vols from 1974 to 2012. She herself won a silver medal at the 1976 Summer Olympics in Montreal as a member of the U.S. team. She returned then to the Olympics in 1984 as the head coach guiding the U.S. women's basketball team to a gold medal. She won 8 NCAA Division basketball championships in 38 years as the coach of the Tennessee Vols. She never missed the NCAA tournament, which you have to qualify for, and nor did she ever have a losing season. She retired from coaching at age 59 following the diagnosis of early onset Alzheimer's. She was inducted into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame in 1999. She was named the Naismith Basketball Coach of the Century in 2000. In 2009, the Sports News placed her at the number 11 on its list of the 50 greatest coaches of all time in sports, and she was the only woman on that list. And in 2012, the Summitt was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Barack Obama and received the Arthur Ashe Courage Award at the 2012 ESB Awards. And in 2013, she was inducted into the FIBA Hall of Fame. So, whether you follow sports or not, that's who we're dealing with here. So, that's whose camp I got accepted to with one other friend of mine that was on the team. And so, when we arrive, the first thing to note is we already see this mass of girls. I believe there was at least 500 girls, but I believe there was more than that because we had to split up into like 4 different gymnasiums to train ultimately. So there was at least 500 girls here. I literally did not see another girl at this camp that was dressed the way me and my friend were, which back in that day, like those Sophie shorts, which are like, they're pretty short shorts. Was super in then. So that's what we were wearing. And no other chick at this camp is wearing those shorts. They are all in like dude shorts, like down to their knees, loose t-shirts. Like we're in like tank tops in these shorts. And we like, everyone literally stopped and looked at us as we came to the line to line up. And we thought, wow, we do not fit into this crowd. At least, you know, visually everyone's like super hardcore looking. And we just, I don't know, we did not fit. And so that was our first wake up of like, this is a hardcore group of girls. Like they're not messing around. They're in their guy shorts, ready to go. And so the camp was, we started training at 6 a.m. and it would go straight minus a 30-minute break for lunch till 6 p.m. Over the 3-day weekend, I lost 15 pounds in 3 days because she worked us so hard. So what they did is she split up everybody depending on your position. So I was a point guard. So I was a ball handler, a shooter, a driver, like sprinting all the time. So she came to, so I was split up with the point guard. So I did not get to be with my friend. She was a shooting guard. And when we would compare notes at night, I'm like, Kayla, are they like annihilating you guys? Like physically, mentally, like we're getting driven into the ground here. And Kayla's like, no, we're just doing a lot of shooting drills. So man, they really were nailing the point guard. But the point guards are supposed to be the leader of the team. You're who calls the plays. You're in control of the ball the most. Like it's a it's a very important position as far as like dictating the floor, running the basketball floor. So she obviously took a different approach for the point guards. So she worked us so hard. She had us, we were not only doing ball drills, but she like, we did workouts. She had us holding planks. And I remember her coming up to me and putting a 25-pound plate on top of my back while I'm doing this plank, holding it for a minute. And she's like, made us do push-ups if we ever got the ball stole from us. So like, I mean, that happens however many times we're playing countless games. So we're just exhausted. And like, she would have us dragging girls across the floor. Like we had, they tied these special resistance bands around our waist, and they put two huge girls holding each side of this resistance band. And you start at one side of the basketball court, and they'd tell you to sprint, and the other two girls are holding you back. So of course you're going nowhere. And the girls had to keep holding you back until you made it to half court. So that took forever to get there. You had to just keep pushing, 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 driving, driving. Meanwhile, Pat Summitt's standing there screaming at you, go, go, go. Don't you stop. If you stop, you're gonna have to get down and give me 50 push-ups. Then you're gonna have to run laps. And she's just like, you know, you don't stop with Pat Summitt standing there, like watching you. And so then you'd get released at half court and you'd have to sprint the rest of the way by yourself. Then you had to sprint more after that. So she's doing that kind of stuff. Then they'd get put in front of a chick and you'd, one person would be holding the ball and you'd be doing grip drills. And you'd literally sit there and they would rotate you with different people and you'd try to basically rip the ball out of each other's hands. I mean, like all kind of intense stuff, let alone the dribbling drills and the shooting stuff and all the actual basketball stuff that we're doing. And so it was just absolutely insane. My friend Kay was like, we are not doing any of that over here. But Pat was mostly here with the point guards. And so what I realized very quickly within day one, within the first few drills, is that I was here with a bunch of girls that were completely different than any girls that I had encountered in anything back at my high school, whether it was in music or sports or even academics. These girls were a whole new level of hungry. And what I mean by hungry is that these girls, especially after talking with them and just seeing the fire in their eyes and in their souls coming out in basketball, was that these were girls that were not going to college if they didn't get a scholarship. These are girls that came here and they had to be seen. It wasn't that they wanted to be seen. They had to be seen. Their future opportunities were tied to this camp, to their skill sets being like demonstrated, to them giving everything they had. And if they didn't, then they might miss their only shot at getting a higher level education. That would, like, the majority of the girls there, they literally were not going to college if they didn't get a scholarship. So with that kind of stuff on the line, that next level thing, like, you could tell these girls were, a lot of them were, you know, very clearly not of even middle class economic status. Like, you know, really, like I said, grunged out, thugged out, all this stuff. Very sweet, not saying any of that. I'm just saying, like, this was their shot. And here I was, blessed enough to be in a good middle-class family, attending a private school. It, you know, I was here wanting to up-level myself, for sure, to try to do something that's never been done at our high school. You know, definitely had higher-level goals, and that's why I was there. But until you've been around people, like, I was not having to give my all in order to have the opportunities I was hoping for in my future. Being at that camp wasn't going to make or break that for me. So then and nobody around me at my high school either. That's not how they needed to show up to play in life where they're at, which was a blessing. And until you get out of your current space to see that not everybody has it that way, then there's no way, even if you want to, which is what I wanted, there's no way that even no matter how extraordinary you want to be, if you don't get out and start putting yourself in rooms where everyone around you is more desperate than you, they're willing to do more than you, and they've done more than you, and they have the high-level skill sets because this is how they've lived their life, because basketball was going to be their only vehicle, then they put so much work into basketball. These girls were freaking good. They were good. And if there was a loose ball, you better believe they're not going just to pick it up. They would dive. They were diving. They were taking girls' legs out. They'd smash you into the bleachers diving for a ball. I saw girls, and including myself, was ones that, you know, if you're battling for a ball, holding on to it, they would lift you up and smash you to the floor. Some girls would freaking grab your, if they knew this foul that they were about to give was going to stop you from making a shot, that was going to change the way the game turned out, even if it got them thrown out of the game, they're grabbing your ponytail to rip you back on your, flat on your back on the ground, because they were that determined to play at a high level. That's the kind of people they played against. They had a whole new level of intensity because it was survival for them. And so until I was in an environment to see, like, wow, this even exists, then there was no way I could take myself to that next level. You don't have to come from a place like that to be at that level, but you do have to know it exists, and you do have to be around other people that are running that pace of life in order to keep up. And so that was where I was with these girls. And so very quickly in that first day, I realized, okay, these chicks, this is their heart and soul. If I'm gonna be as good as these girls or work to be as good as these girls, because they are obviously, there was definitely plenty of girls I was not gonna be as good at. But I had to really hone in my mindset for this camp to say, okay, I didn't come to this camp to try to be the best. That's specifically why I came to this camp, was to not be the best for once, because frankly, in the environment I was at, I was the best. And so if I was gonna get better, because I knew I wasn't short-sighted enough to say, like, this is my bubble of a place here in Collegedale, Tennessee. I wasn't dumb enough to think that people outside that bubble weren't better than me. So I needed to get out of that bubble, to find those people, to learn from those people, to watch their dedication and their drive and match that and keep up with it. But I had to, in my head though, because being used to being the best at something, I was used to getting the MVP awards. I had to really hone in to say, look, I am here to learn. I'm here to not feel like I'm the best. I'm here to ask questions and to glean from these other girls, and of course Pat Summit and her other coaches, to become the best that I can be and to take that back to my team. And so my goal then was like, okay, I'm here with all these girls. Like, I knew I wasn't going to be noticed for being the MVP or the best or like some crazy awesome player amongst these girls, because there were so many girls that were just crazy awesome. But my goal was to improve so much that I was seen, to learn so much that the coaches took notice, to learn so much that everybody's like, man, she has really changed from day one to day three. That was my goal. So I pushed and pushed, and like I said, I lost 15 pounds. I never gave up when Pat Summit said don't give up. I kept going, and lo and behold, by the end, when it came down to it, they did give awards, and they named off, you know, the MVPs and the highest scorers and all this stuff. And guess what? Out of, again, over 500 girls, I'm sitting here in the bleachers with my friend who I'm exhausted. Like, this was the first time in my life that a lot of times at these tournaments, they'll finish at the end and they pick MVPs to play in like the all-star game is what they call it. This was the first time in my life I didn't even want to be in the All-Star game. I was so beat up and so tired and exhausted. I didn't even want my name to be called for the All-Star game. I did not want it at all for the first time in my life. So they selected the All-Star people. I was not on that team. I was kind of like, hallelujah, but I knew that. So the final award that they gave, and other coaches announced, popcorned and announced all the other awards except for, and I'll try not to get choked up, came to the final award, which is for the most improved player award. And Pat Summit wanted to give that award. And she called out my name. And I was blown away that I had achieved that goal of showing up in that environment, because my goal was to be seen for growing and to be seen for changing and being a student. And sure enough, I won. I didn't even know what awards they were going to give or that they were going to give awards. I just wanted to maybe get feedback from coaches to say like, hey, I saw you really improved or something. But for Pat Summit to literally have made a plaque and autographed it and called my name out and took a picture and get with me and gave it to me, and she told me that I had really changed from the start to the finish, and that was just life-changing for me. And it was the first time in my life that I had seen that kind of award as not like, oh, you were the suckiest and now you're not so sucky. It was the first environment that I'd taken myself to say, it's not a disservice to switch yourself to being a student. And then now that I've, you know, come out of not just being in the athletic world, but I'm in the personal development and business world, the highly successful people are always students. They'll always tell you that. They're like, we never strive to just be the teachers. We have groups where we are the teachers and we're obviously the leaders and we serve. But then they're always, even the biggest of all big people, get out there and put themselves with other huge people that are teaching them too. They never think they know everything. As soon as you think you know everything, then, you know, now you're really not a service to people, because that's like your worst enemy, is to assume you know everything. And so this was the first time that I'd ever even gone into a place like this where I realized like that that's not a bad thing. And this was my goal there. The first time, my goal was to actually just be the most improved player. And I was still seen and noticed by Pat Summitt for growth. And that has been something so huge that I've carried with me in all the other aspects of life. And so I tell that story so that y'all can realize, again, you've got to get in these bigger rooms with bigger people than you. And it doesn't matter the space, you know. So that was a sports example. That was athletics. Oh, so came back. Sorry, I forgot to finish that story. Came back, brought all the training strategies to our team, was running the workouts in the morning, did so many things that Pat Summitt had done. We took that little team, and not only did we win the whole tournament again, but in the finals, so against the best of the best teams, me and the other starters, we were like, okay, this is our goal. We're not only going to win this game, but we're going to blow this team out of the water so that we're so far ahead that all the seniors can play the last 5 minutes, which is the last quarter. And of those seniors is going to be Marianne, who at this point could finally jog again and was getting some of her coordination back, but she was still totally in recovery. You know, the ball would come through her hands a lot because Marianne was on this podcast somewhere back in the beginning. You need to listen to her crazy transformation story, Marianne Krause. So she was, you know, she needed to just be in if we were far enough ahead, because she wanted to win too. She is very competitive. She's like, I want you guys to win. I would, of course, love to play, but I want y'all to win more than anything. So we were like, we are going to blow this team so out of the water that Marianne gets to play for the full 5 minutes, not just a minute, you know, just to get a little bit of time in. She's going to be able to comfortably play, as long as her endurance will last, that whole last quarter of us together as seniors. I think there was five of us, because I think it perfectly fit all five spots for the starters team. So we not only won that game, but sure enough, we blew them out so far ahead that whole last quarter us seniors played together, including Marianne, who'd come back from a horrible tumor removal where she was paralyzed and had to recover the whole rest of her high school experience. So it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing, the full circle experience and the story, and how this little scrawny girls, we found what our strength was going to be. We were going to be speedy. We were going to jump higher. It didn't matter how short. I mean, we brought back all that intensity of, you dive for the ball as if your life is on the line. You jump for the ball as if it's your only way to be successful. And, you know, we harnessed those lessons to take a team that you wouldn't look at and think could win this tournament, and to not only win it, but blow it out of the water in the final game so that, you know, the final seniors can play. So that's the end of that story, which was really cool. But back to saying, it doesn't matter the topic. So that's sports, you know, there's business. But, you know, if you want to be an extraordinary wife, or you want to be an extraordinary mother or father, again, or husband, those are all areas that you've got to get in bigger rooms. And, you know, that may sound simple, like, well, everybody wants to be an extraordinary parent or wife. Let me just tell you, they don't. They absolutely do not. There are so many guys out there that do not care about being faithful to their wives, or vice versa. And if you're hanging around people like that, that is not going to support you in being the best version of you for your family. Or let me just tell you, as the pediatric specialist at, you know, our practitioner office in orthotics and prosthetics, there are probably a quarter of the children that I see are fostered or adopted because their parents didn't give a shit about being an extraordinary mom or dad, and they wanted to just do them, and they wanted to continue doing their drugs, which have now left this baby and child that I'm taking care of with a disability. And so let me just tell you, there's people out there, like, and I know you know them in your circles. Like, we all have been through experiences where we do, like, look at your life. It's time for assessment. And whatever area it is that you're wanting to up-level yourself and become a whole new version of yourself or an extraordinary version of yourself, you know, we cannot become what we need by remaining what we are. So if it's area of mom life, what moms are you hanging around? If it's wife life, what other wives are you being around? Or are you around any? You know, you could just kind of be in isolation, and that's not going to help you either, because, you know, your own thoughts on things aren't the only thoughts and aren't always the best thoughts of parenthood or wifehood, or whatever it may be, your business. If you're an entrepreneur, a lot of you are entrepreneurs listening to this, you know, get in bigger rooms, get in bigger places. I didn't figure out how to do podcasts by just doing it all by myself here and Googling. I went to events, personal development events. I've been to Oprah. I've been to Lori Harder. I've been to amazing events and got in rooms with other people that were passionate about doing these things and were better than me at doing these things, had already been doing these things. And that's how I got to where having 10,000 listens an episode and that kind of stuff. Like, that didn't happen just because I was an audience of myself. Like, I went and became a student in business, and I didn't go to school for business and all that kind of stuff. So again, it doesn't matter the category, but do a self-assessment and get honest about, all right, if this is the area I want to become extraordinary in or take it to the next level, maybe you've hit your ceiling and you're now looking to make that ceiling your floor. What kind of group do I need to get into? You know, and not just be the teacher anymore, not just be the best in my group at this, or not good at all, and go grow. So what areas can you get out there, get in a bigger room, make yourself grow, take inventory, because it's amazing not only how fast you'll get results, because that weekend, I can't tell you, by the time I came back from that weekend, the first game that we had at my high school, I mean, I was light years beyond good from what I was. And everyone thought I was great at that point. And I came back and people are like, Gina, what did you do? Like, what has happened? Like, you've scored so many points this game. You've made so many awesome plays. Like, you're doing all this. Like, you're so fast. I got so fast. Like, my sprint time was insanity, because dragging giant girls behind me and then all of a sudden just having my body weight. So you can get exponential results exponentially fast when you get bold enough and get humble enough to put yourself in rooms where people are better than you at that thing. And start building support groups. And again, especially if your excuse is, well, I don't know people that are, you know, better than me in my area in this thing, in business or in whatever. Trust me, especially with the internet today, that's not a valid excuse. You can find your people through Instagram. You can find people, like, if you want other people who love personal development and there's somebody that you follow that gives you a bunch of inspiration, see who's in their comments on their photos, because those are people that are their fans, which means they're also fans of personal development. Check out some of their pages and see, you know, if they seem nice and if they seem like you have common interests. And if so, send them a message. Say, hey, I just saw that you follow Lori Harder and you're really interested in health and fitness too and personal development and entrepreneurship. I just wanted to see if you wanted to get to know each other and, like, make friends. Like, and then go to these events like I'm talking about, and you make a whole new pool of friends there. You're there to make friends. You know, everybody else is present looking to make friends, whether they're introverted or extroverted. People are out of their comfort zones to grow. So it's just a matter of becoming aware that you need to get into a new group or expand your group. Doesn't mean you have to chuck to the wayside the other people that you've known in these areas, unless they're bad for you, you know, and then definitely. But you just add more to your repertoire that's going to change the game for you. So, you know, just take inventory. I hope this was helpful. You know, so keep your theme, make your new mantra in whatever the area of your life that it is. Aim to become the most improved player. Aim for the most improved player award. Don't aim to always be MVP. Don't just think you're the only MVP that exists. You know that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of other people and whatever it is you're doing that are a bigger MVP than you, that are more highly awarded than you, that are more decorated than you. And don't feel less worthy because of that. Get more excited to get in the room with those people. Because a lot of times our breakthrough isn't waiting across, waiting beyond what it is we're supposed to do. It's who we need to meet, right? So aim to be the most improved player and aim for the most improved player award and watch how your life change. Thanks, everybody. And I'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope that you love this episode and that it was able to help you move in the right direction towards building the life that you want. If you take just a quick moment to leave us a positive 5-star review, I'd be so, so grateful, and share with any friends that you think would love it. This not only helps spread the mission of this podcast, but it helps to open the door to even more amazing guests and opportunities to better support you in amplifying your success and overflowing your cup with abundance. Thanks again, guys, and catch you on the next one.